We stand here together as a family. We join hands together, lifting praises to the Father above for sending his Son.
Hello, good evening. My name is Andrew McAfee. I'm the pastor of White Oak Independent Baptist Church in Warrior, Alabama. And I am coming to you with a Bible study that we've entitled Fighting for Family. And it doesn't really matter who I am, but God has absolutely given me a burden for families today. Most pastors today are burdened for the home and for families, and there's good reason for it. We're seeing a lot of things going on in society, and we're seeing Christian homes at an all-time record just being destroyed, and the devil has had an attack on the home since the very beginning, all the way back to the very first home that was set in order in the Bible with Adam and Eve. The home has been under attack. And the devil's strategy has not changed since the very beginning. And I believe we can clearly see that as time goes on. His strategy has always been the same. And we'll look at a little bit of that as we go through on this Bible study. Now, I'm nobody, and I'm okay with that. The Lord Jesus Christ is everything, and I'm thankful for the Word of God and the ability to be able to teach this book and all the truths that it gives us. I'm not doing this study to try to be any kind of internet teacher or any kind of celebrity like it seems like some do. I don't care about any of those things. I started teaching on the home in our church 6 years ago, almost 6 years. We're going 6 years ago, and because of recordings not taking place, some of them didn't get recorded, some of them did, but the audio didn't work, and some of them just didn't work out, and different events that took place, they didn't get all recorded. And I wanted to go back and do some of these Bible studies and put them on here for access for folks to look at, and just maybe it'll be a blessing to somebody. Maybe it'll help a marriage, a home, maybe it'll help a family. The home is under attack, and I believe if you just open your eyes, you'll see that all over, that it's under attack. So, Lord willing, I'll be trying to do these Bible studies each week as time permits, and I pray that they're a blessing to you. I do not claim originality to everything that I'm teaching or that I'm going through. I've got personal study involved and a lot of prayer and looking over some things, but I've also been very grateful and thankful for some of the great men of God that I've been able to glean from when it comes to this subject of the home. I'll be doing the majority of my teaching from Dr. Tabb's book on home builders, God's Blueprint for Home Builders, Dr. Tabb. And if you would like to get a copy of that book, you can contact me and I'll get you in touch with him to get a copy of that book. It's a very good book on the home. And also I'll be gleaning from a lot of Dr. Alan Jones. He's got many books on the home, character building home and mutual submission and those things. So it's a combination of all of them and personal study and also great examples that God has put in my life of some good Bible homes. I've got examples in my life of homes that started out right and didn't finish right. Got some examples of ones that maybe didn't start out right, but they got right with the Lord and just seen how God has blessed. And then we've got examples in our life of ones that never really got it together when it comes to a biblical home and just did not end well at all. And we don't want to see that happen. We've got young families in our church, and they know that I love them and I care for them, and I want to see God do something for them. I want to see God save their children at a young age. But not only that, we want to see the family unit fall in love with the Lord. We want to see the family get back to the Bible and back to the Bible way of doing things. And so, Lord willing, that's what we'll be looking at in these studies. And so you pray about it with me, and I pray that it's a blessing to you. If it is, send it to other folks so they can see it. Maybe it'll be a help to them as well. Let's start off with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for loving us. We thank you for being a great God and a great Savior to us, Lord. We thank you for your precious word. And God, we know that we're nobody today But your word stands strong. It stands true. And Lord, I pray, God, that we'd be an encouragement to somebody somewhere, Father God, to get back to the book when it comes to our home and the family. And Father, we'll thank you for all that you do. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. I want to start off in 2 Kings chapter number 20 and look at a passage here concerning King Hezekiah. 2 Kings chapter number 20, and we're going to look at verse number 12 down through verse number 17 and look at this passage for just a second and then try to draw attention to a certain portion of it for the introduction to this study. 2 Kings chapter number 20 and verse number 12, the Bible says, "And at that time, Baladan, the son of Baladan, king of Babylon, sent letters and a present unto Hezekiah, for he had heard that Hezekiah had been sick. And Hezekiah hearkened unto them and showed them all the house of his precious things, the silver and the gold, and the spices and the precious ointment, and all the house of his armor, and all that was found in his treasures. There was nothing in his house, nor in all his dominion, that Hezekiah showed them not. Then came Isaiah the prophet unto King Hezekiah, and said unto him, What said these men? And from whence came they unto thee? And Hezekiah said, They are come from a far country, even from Babylon. And he said, What have they seen in thine house? And Hezekiah answered, All the things that are in mine house have they seen. There is nothing among my treasures that I have not showed them. And Isaiah said unto Hezekiah, Hear the word of the Lord. Behold, the days come that all that is in thine house and that which thy fathers have laid up in store unto this day shall be carried into Babylon. Nothing shall be left, saith the Lord." And so if you go back and study this story here with King Hezekiah, you know that he was a sick man. He was a dying man. And he called for Isaiah to come, the prophet of the Lord, and he pleaded with God and with the prophet Isaiah that he may live and God would extend his life. And God answered that prayer and healed him of his sickness and gave him 15 more years. And I'm not going to stay on this subject this morning or this afternoon long, but we need to be very, very cautious of the time that we have left. I'm thankful for the time that God has given us, and we need to do the most with it that we can to please him. I believe we're living in the last days. I believe that we're there, and God gave those great men of God in the early church the privilege of pastoring during those days, and he's given us pastors today, I believe, the privilege, and what a great responsibility it is to pastor in the last days. I believe the Lord could come back any day. It's very important that we're doing something with what God's given us left, the time that we have. But he heals Hezekiah and he gives him 15 more years. And so we see here in our passage that that this son of Baladan, king of Babylon, he sent letters and he sent a gift, a present to Hezekiah. And he comes in the disguise of, we're thankful that God healed you. We're thankful that God touched you, and we're thankful that you're better. And so we want to give you this present. We're coming to say that we're grateful what God had done, that he healed them. But they came in a disguise. That present was a disguise. Their flattery was a disguise. And Hezekiah fell for that trick. He fell for that deceit. He fell for those devices that were being placed here. And he takes them and shows them his entire house. The Bible says here he showed them everything. He showed them the armory. He showed them the treasures. He showed them the entire thing. Isaiah comes back to Hezekiah and says there and asks him the question, what have they seen there in verse number 15? What have they seen in thine house? And Hezekiah answers him in the same verse, all the things that are in mine house have they seen. There's nothing among my treasures that I have not showed them. Dr. Tabb gives the illustration in his book of the United States opening up their armories and their facilities and their factories for the military and showing the enemy, Russia or whoever, showing them everything. And you say that would be a foolish thing to do. Well, that's what Hezekiah did here. And you know, just as foolish as that is, it's foolish for the child of God to open up their home to the enemy. And we're going to get into more of this later on in the study, but that's exactly what we've done in the average Christian home. And I say Christian, there's not many that are Christ-like anymore, but if they're saved, they claim to be Christians. But we've opened up our home to the enemy. We've opened up our home to the devil. I'm thankful for technology. I'm able to do this Bible study here, sitting in the office at the church because of technology. And it can be used as a great tool. But the great men of God down through the years and the preachers that have been in my life, they've warned against this thing of technology for years. And I've come to understand what they were talking about. It's been a very, very, very dangerous thing for the home. Social media has been a very dangerous thing for the home. It's been a dangerous thing for the young person and for the marriage and the husband and the wife. And in essence, we are opening our home up to the enemy when we allow those things unprotected to come into our home. And whenever we hand a five-year-old a device and leave it alone with it, we're essentially opening them up and opening that child up to the devices of the devil. And we'll get into it more as we go through here, and we'll be covering a lot of it. It's a very dangerous thing. But here Hezekiah does this thing, and then Isaiah, he pronounces judgment and tells him that God is going to bring judgment upon him and that everything will be carried away. And the exact thing took place. They came in there and they carried him captive. They rummaged through Solomon's temple. They took all the treasure. They took all the armory. And the exact thing took place that Isaiah said would happen. You say, what happened? Hezekiah didn't protect his home. Hezekiah was not fighting for his home. Under the disguise of being friendly and being thankful for him getting over his sickness, the enemy came in and was allowed to freely spy out his home. And I believe that we're living in days today where the devil does not have to work very hard to get into a person's home, to rummage through the marriage and rummage through the children and take a pick at whatever he wants. And I believe more than ever we need to fight for the family. We need to fight for our home and our marriages. But I want to just look at one little thing here for the introduction for this study. Whenever Isaiah asked him, what have they seen in thine house? And I want to ask you the question, whoever may be listening or may watch this at a later time, what can be seen in your house? If someone was allowed to come and rummage through your home, if they were allowed to have free rein in every room, in every closet, in every device that's in your home, every television, every movie cabinet, every music case, what would they find in your home? Would they find a worldly home, or would they find a home that pleases God? Would they find a Christian home? Would they go through the house and say, man, we couldn't find a whole lot of things to pin on them. This must be a home that tries to please the Lord. And we're going to get into later on some things that should be seen in the home at a later study. You know, I've noticed that things have really changed when it comes to the average churchgoer's home. It seems like when I was younger, a teenager, a child, that the majority of the church would be so appreciative and they would be grateful and even encourage a preacher, an evangelist, or a missionary to come to their home. They were excited to have somebody of that caliber come to their home. I remember when I was younger, our home, man, it was an exciting thing to have a preacher come to our home and be there. And they were always welcome to come and invited to come eat lunch with them on Sundays or come stay with them during special meetings. And the home has always seemed to be open for those kind of things. But something's changed over the years. And now it's very rare to see that. I'm thankful that we do have a few families in our church that are willing to open their home, and they always are willing for that to take place, and I'm thankful for that. But I believe that some things have changed, because it used to be the majority were excited to have somebody stay in their home, especially a preacher, a missionary, an evangelist. But things have changed, and I believe one of the reasons is the home has changed so drastically that most people are embarrassed to have somebody come into their home, especially somebody that would be a Christian or a man of God. The home looks nothing like a child of God's home ought to look. The dress has changed. The music has changed. The order of the home has changed. The arguing and the bittering back and forth and the lack of peace in the home has really taken an effect. And now those people, because of their self-righteousness or whatever the case might be, or their pride, they would never want the preacher to come to their home. They wouldn't want to invite the preacher into their home. And most of them are probably in such disarray. The home itself is in such a mess and a disarray and a disaster that nobody would ever want somebody to come in and see the home. I remember again when I was younger and we'd go out knocking doors that it was nothing to go by a home and for them to invite you into their home, even a heathen, somebody that was lost. I mean, I've heard so many testimonies of preachers talking about door knocking and the people invited them into their home and they sat on the couch with them and they were able to lead them to the Lord Jesus Christ and see people get saved. But in the past several years of us going door knocking as a church, there's been one time that my wife and I were knocking doors and going door to door that a family invited us in to sit on their couch. It was a hot day and they invited us in and they gave us a cold drink of water and we were able to fellowship with them for a few minutes and encourage them and they encouraged us. It was an older couple. They were way on up in their years and their home was very pleasant and it was a clean place and it was an inviting place and it was so very encouraging to see that home. But in all the last several years of doing door knocking, that's the one and only example that we have of a family opening their doors and asking you to come in. On visitation now, when we go knocking doors, they'll step outside, but they do not want you coming in their home. And you say, well, that's the lost, that's the heathen. You would expect that from them. And yes, to a certain degree, you're right. But the problem is that's not just the heathen home. Now that's the average Christian home. The average Christian home does not want a preacher, an evangelist, a missionary, another brother or sister in Christ coming to their home. They wouldn't want to invite them in. Why? Because their home does not resemble a biblical Christ-honoring home. Isaiah asked Hezekiah, "What have they seen in thine house?" And if we were allowed today, you were allowed to open your home or you would allow someone to come into your home and go through your home, what would they see? Would they see scripture? Would they see things that honor the Lord Jesus Christ? Would they see a Christian home? Would they see something that resembled the Lord Jesus Christ? Or would they see the world? Or would they see an absolute chaos and mess? What would they hear when they came into your home? If they were allowed to go over, and people don't have CDs or radio players anymore, hardly, they have a device that they play music from, but if they were allowed free access to the device and they were allowed to hit play on the music, if they were allowed to look through the movie catalogs or look through your DVR or whatever the case might be, what would they find? What would they find if they were allowed to have free reign to look through those things? And I believe that's a very humbling thought. A very humbling thought to think about what would they find if they were to come to the home. And so the idea behind this study that we would like to do, Lord willing, every week to go through here is to look at the home. To look at the home that God would be pleased with. To get back to the Bible. To have a home that would please God. To honor Him. There's an order to everything that God does, and there's no exception to the home. God, we know God founded the home from the very beginning. The Lord willing, next week, we'll begin to look at God founding the home, and we'll begin to look at the very first home in the Bible. You see, the devil, we've been preaching here at the church on Sunday mornings through a series on spiritual warfare. And before we can ever get to the armor of God, we've got to understand the enemy. If you don't understand the enemy or the necessity for putting on the armor of God, then you'll never have a desire or an urgency to put on the armor of God. And in that study and in that preaching series, we look at the example that was given. Paul warned about the devil blinding the minds from the simplicity that's in Christ. And he uses the illustration of the very first home in the Bible of Adam and Eve. And in the series, we've talked about how if you're saved, God cannot have your soul. And we're thankful for that. If you're saved, you're going to heaven. But if the devil can't have your soul, he wants your mind. And if he can get your mind, he can get your body, he can get your testimony. We've preached on those things in our morning services. But the devil, the very first home in the Bible, the devil went after the mind. He went after the mind of Eve. He began to contradict the Word of God. He began to question the Word of God. And he began to cause Eve to do the same thing. And the devil's been doing that in the home ever since the beginning. And we cannot be ignorant of that. Our home structure needs to get back to the Bible. We need to get back to having family devotions and turning off the television and not putting our children to sleep watching a television show. We need to get back to our children being put to sleep after family devotion and after reading the Bible and reading the Word of God and praying for them and praying over them and teaching them to pray. That's what they need to go to bed thinking about, not thinking about some movie that they just finished watching, which you might think is innocent, but all the devil needs is one phrase. All he needs is one scene in a movie to begin to captivate the mind of that child or the mind of your wife or the mind of yourself, husband. All he needs is that one little thing to get you to begin to think about it. And man, I tell you, we'd be in a much better place if we just replace all that with the Word of God and with family devotion. But in order to get to that point, we've got to examine the Word of God and see what He would have for the husband, see what He would have for the wife and the children, our roles in the home. God has an order to the home. And it's very important to understand what that order is. The average home today, the modern family, as the world likes to produce these television shows that make a mock at sin and they make fun of the Christian and the Christian home, and they have all these sodomites. The average home, if you want to see an illustration of the average home, just go to Walmart. Just go to your local Walmart and walk in there, and you'll see the illustration of the average home. And what's sad is some of those people are Christians. Some of those people go to good, independent, Bible-believing Baptist churches. And that's the illustration of the home that you see, the average home. The average home, the children are in charge. You say, well, I wouldn't say that. My kids are not in charge of nothing. Whenever you're asking them to please stop something and you're begging them to stop, or you start counting down 10, 9, 8, that child is in charge and he's controlling you, and he'll stop when he's good and ready to stop. Just go and walk, just go and you'll see this. You can see it in some churches. The child will act up and he'll do what he wants to do. If he's not getting his way, he'll throw a fit. The dad might try to get onto that child, but as soon as he does, the mom gets onto the husband for trying to get onto the child. The whole thing is backwards. The whole thing's a mess. It's completely out of order. And there's sin in the house that needs to be dealt with. There's sin in the heart that needs to be dealt with. There's all these things that we really need to pray about. Because we need God to do something. We need God to do something in the home. And the question this evening, and I'm about to finish, we'll pray and be done. And Lord willing, next week we'll try to do it again. I hope this will be a blessing to somebody. But what we need to get back to is the Bible. And we need to get back to fighting for the home. And I understand it's going to take the husband. It's going to take the wife. It's going to take the children. It's going to take everybody doing their part to have a home that pleases God. But let me say this, and you'll hear me say this often in the Bible study. As we go through and look at the responsibility of the husband, the wife, and the children in the home, and we're going to briefly also look at the church's responsibility to the home and the pastor, where he plays a role in the home. All that's a part of the structure that God has for the local church in the home. We're going to look at all that. But as we look at that, I want every person to understand, and many of you probably know some of these things, you're just being reminded of them, that it doesn't necessarily matter what the other party in your home does. You have to do what's right. Husband, you do what God commands you to do. And we're going to look at all that in very much detail. We're going to look at all that. I've had couples before that I've counseled, and they would say, if my husband or if my wife did what she was supposed to do, then I would do what I'm supposed to do. And I'm going to show you from Scripture, Lord willing, that that's never, ever an excuse to not do what you're supposed to do. Never. Children, well, if my parents would be the parents they're supposed to do, there's no clause in the Bible that says if they're not doing what they're supposed to do, that you get a pass. And so as we go through this study, I want every individual of the family, and I pray that people get a blessing out of this. Again, I'm not doing it for any kind of selfish reason. Man, this is awkward to me, and it's you know, different. I'm out of my element here. I just feel like this is what God wants us to do. But if there is somebody that pays attention to it, I pray that you yourself individually, you pray and ask God to help you. Now, I know that you want God to help your wife, and you want God to help your husband, and you want God to help your children. I understand that. You want to help your home. But as we go through here, you need to examine yourself and ask God to examine your heart. And as David prayed to God, Lord, search me and know my heart. He already knows it, but you ask God to do that and find if there be any wicked thing. And you ask God to help you individually to be the father, the mother, the child, the husband, the wife that you are supposed to be, the grandparent. We'll deal with a little bit of grandparents as we go through here. And so you ask, and regardless of what your spouse or husband or wife or whoever, the children, regardless of how they respond to this, they might not even watch it. You pray and ask God to help you do the right thing. You're going to be held accountable for what your responsibility is. Now, husband, you're going to be held accountable for your home. And we're going to go into detail on that later. But you need to make sure your heart is right with God, and you're doing it for the right reasons. You're doing it to please God, and you do what you're supposed to do. You say, well, if she would do. The Bible doesn't give occasion for if she would or if he would. And so I ask that you sincerely pray and ask that God would help you, that God would help us. As I'm going through here, I'm not perfect. I understand that. I'm not the model of what this ought to be. I'm a pastor. I'm a husband. I'm a father. And I've been working with youth for a long time now. I've been preaching at youth camps. I've been helping other preachers with different youth ministries. I've seen good examples. I've seen bad examples. I've seen the Bible work. I've seen people that don't follow it. I've seen disaster. I've seen good families where kids end up going a different direction. God's given them a free will. And the parents did the best they could. And I understand all that. But the Bible will not return void. And so the truth of God's word, regardless of what scenario you may be in, is still the truth of God's word. And God will bless you if you do your part. I'm not saying that every home and every marriage is going to make it, because it takes two parties. It takes a family to obey God together, teenagers to do what they're supposed to do, and all those things. But I tell you what, we'd be a whole lot better off if we just individually try to get our hearts right with God and let God work out the rest of it in our spouse and in our family. But as we go through here, you pray about it, and I pray that it's an encouragement and blessing. I pray that you share it with other people you think it might be a blessing to. I don't want this to be for waste. I'm not doing this just to hear myself talk. I don't like that. I don't want that. I'm just really trying to be a blessing, and I hope that it is to you. Your Heavenly Father, thank you for loving us, God. We thank you for being a great God, a great Savior. Thank you for being my friend. And I thank you for your precious word, Lord. And I pray, God, that these series of studies that we're doing, Lord, will be an encouragement, a help to somebody. Lord, I know they've greatly helped me and my family. And Lord, I pray you continue to help us to be the family you'd have us to be. And Lord, I pray, God, you bless as we go through these studies. I want to thank you for the great men, the great women of God that you've given me, the great families as an example in my heart and my life. And Father, men that have paved the way that we can follow. And God, I pray that you would bless. And Father, I pray that you would get all the glory and the honor out of everything that's said and done, Lord, during these studies, that's said and done at our church. We thank you for loving us. Thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.
We stand here together. As a family, we join hands together. Lifting praises to the Father above for sending his Son.